is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome to the show. It is Friday, May 5th. Going to start with this. Now that Denver has signed Jamaal Charles to a one-year deal worth up to $3.75 million, he won't get that much. How many rookie running backs would you take over C.J. Anderson?
Over C.J.?
Mm-hmm.
Two. No, three. I'm sorry, three.
It's the big three. Yeah. No, it's the big four.
I'm not taking Cook over Anderson. I think Anderson's just going to be fine. He's healthy. He's the best guy there.
I would love to see that happen. I don't want to count on that.
Well, we just did a mock draft yesterday. And C.J. Anderson went 61st overall. That's the first pick of round six in a 12-team league.
That's a steal.
Jamaal Charles went 120th overall. So
he's stealing money.
We'll talk about that right now. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. We're going to review that draft. We're going to, I don't know if I'd say mostly, but certainly highlight the rookies, talk about where they went. I am going to announce the winner of the podcast league contest, our NFL draft pick contest. We've got some news and notes. Tony Romo goes to CBS. Jay Cutler goes to Fox. Just saying. CBS. And I really just break down this mock draft that we did, which was a lot of fun. And I'm sure we all love our teams. But hey, why don't we talk about Jamaal Charles going to Denver? Do you think that this is similar to Arian Foster joining the Dolphins last year and Jay Ajayi losing value when he really shouldn't have?
Yes. Perfect example. I thought the same thing when it happened. I thought the same thing with Peterson too. Good. Go over there. make the guy's value that's in front of him drop, and you get a better pick.
When it happened, we do a bunch of videos for when there's breaking news in the NFL. Short little clips. You can see them on CBS Sports. And when it happened, I said on the video, I'm not taking Jamaal Charles until round 10. And I get off the set, and one of our producers heard me say that, and he comes over to me and he goes, were you serious, or were you just joking around? Round 10 for Jamaal Charles? I said, yeah, I don't want him on my team.
Yeah.
How often is it where a veteran running back who has come back from significant knee injuries all of a sudden plays like a superstar on a new team where he's not guaranteed to be the lead guy? It doesn't happen.
He doesn't have to play like a superstar, though. Jamaal Charles only played in, three games? He had 12 carries last year, so.
He barely played.
Yeah, he barely played. You can't look at his
numbers. He admitted in the press conference with Denver reporters that he wasn't right at all.
So what if he's right?
During the offseason, never was announced. And, I mean, you could almost figure as much just because he didn't participate in training.
What do you mean never was announced?
It was never announced, like, how he hurt himself or how severe it was. It sounded like he tore his meniscus.
Well, do you think Jamaal Charles is done? If he stays healthy, can he be good? I'm still not quite sure how good C.J. Anderson is. I'm not sure how a guy could average 4.7 yards per carry 2 years in a row and be bad, but I thought he looked bad last year. So, I don't know. If Jamaal Charles stays healthy, does he have enough left in the tank to challenge C.J. Anderson and really screw things up in the Denver backfield?
It could be exactly like the scenario you painted, where he comes in, he looks good in camp, Anderson still not 100% back from the knee injury. He goes out and has a good preseason performance, and then people go the other way and say Anderson stinks, and Jamaal Charles is back because he's Jamaal Charles.
I don't know if I could ever buy into it, even if that happened.
I agree, but that's what's going to end up happening, is that people are going to get overexcited by certain things that they see or hear or read, or we say, how we rank things, whatever the case may be. Like you're saying, you take Dalvin Cook over C.J. Anderson. May work out fine. May work out that you're passing up on a starter versus a guy who could be a backup somewhere. So, you know, it all depends on kind of how you sort of view where both these guys are. I mean, it's still it's not a sign of an endorsement or a vote of confidence that they have to go out and get somebody. They needed someone to fill Capri Bibbs' role. You know, I don't know if D'Angelo Henderson. I always get his name. D'Angelo Henderson, right? Guy that they drafted.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's, you know, somebody that they were looking at to say, okay, this is our next developmental guy. We'll see if he can step in and, you know, be someone we could try to build around like they were trying to do with Capri Bibbs. But Jamaal Charles, I think from the Broncos standpoint, makes some sense. You know, you see what he has. If he's good, you hit a home run and he could kind of be somebody that plays a certain role for you. But I still think C.J. Anderson, what he's shown when he's been healthy, has been good, if not great. And now they upgrade their offensive line as well with the addition of Bowles at left tackle.
And they also signed Ronald Leary in free agency. So,
right.
Yeah. How about this? Ready? Devontae Booker is your sleeper now. He's got two injury-prone running backs ahead of him.
Yeah, but we saw that last year, though.
So. I know, but I'm thinking if the offensive line is better, then Anderson could certainly have a nice bounce back year. But also, Anderson, even though he played, I think, 15 games each of the first two seasons, only seven last year, the guy is always banged up. And we know Charles has durability concerns.
Yeah, he played through ankle and foot problems in 2015, but you know that was behind a really bad offensive line, too.
Okay. All right, well, there's your Denver update for you. Jamal Charles of the Broncos. Let's get on with the show. We've gotten a lot of emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast or something like that in the subject line. And we've got a mailbag show coming next week because we've had so many great questions. We haven't really addressed Marshawn Lynch now that he's officially on the Raiders. A lot of questions coming in, and we'll answer them next week. We do have I do have some emails in the notes today. Hopefully we can get to them, more keeper stuff. And congratulations to Chris Keenan. I finally went over all of the emails, 400-plus Podcast League entries, and Chris Keenan got 6 out of 10 right, and you are in right now. Now, I will say this, Chris. Don't celebrate yet. Don't throw a Cinco de Mayo party yet, because if you out there emailed with an entry and you also got 6 right, it's possible I missed it. I went through a lot of these.
Are you really doing this?
Make sure you email me back. Reply to the original email. Don't edit it because I'll be able to check the actual original email and let me know. But right now, Chris, you are the winner. This is Chris's top 10. Myles Garrett, Mitch Trubisky, Solomon Thomas, Leonard Fournette. Got the first 4 right. Then Marshawn Lattimore. Then Jamal Adams. You got that one right. Malik Hooker wrong. Christian McCaffrey. That was the 6th. Reuben Foster and Mike Williams. Congratulations. You even nailed the amount of trades. 6 trades. It seemed like most people, I'd say the 3 that were right the most, obviously Garrett, followed by Fournette and McCaffrey. People seem to nail picks 1, 4, and 8. And the 2 players that screwed everybody up were Marshawn Lattimore and Malik Hooker. So many, going 5 and 6 specifically.
Did anybody have John Ross in their top 10?
A few people did. I think maybe, I'm going to guess maybe 2 or 3. Had Ross 9th, though. Got him exactly.
See,
right.
I would say that Ross and Mahomes are the 2 that really screwed people.
Well, those are the people that were in it. I'm talking about the people that the listeners thought would be in the top 10.
Right.
Yeah. It was Hooker and Lattimore that really screwed them up.
I thought Lattimore could be a top 10 pick. But I don't like what you're doing where you're inviting people to email you.
No. I'm going to be able to.
In case you missed it.
I'm going to be able to fact check it. They're not going to be able to lie about it. I'm going to see.
You can never work for the Powerball.
You know how hard that is, dude? Like, to not make any mistakes? And there was only one person who got 6. There were a few 5s. There were a bunch of 4s. Congratulations to Chris Keenan. I'm pretty sure you're in. But, you know, don't throw a party.
He's in no matter what. You said his name. You gave him props. It's done. Chris is in.
Anybody getting Mexican food tonight? For Cinco de Mayo?
I hope Dave doesn't.
We may or may not have some stomach issues on the air today. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You think about it. Get yourself a burrito. News and notes. Jay Cutler is joining Fox. Ben Roethlisberger told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that he's going to take his career year by year. But he also said he was pushing hard for the team to draft running back James Conner. And they did. And they share an agent, but Roethlisberger is very high on Conner. So I don't think he's going to be the starter.
He's draftable. He's absolutely draftable.
Yeah, he's a handcuff.
Yeah.
Conner went in the 14th round. I think he was the last rookie running back to be drafted in the 12-team league we did yesterday. Mike Zimmer.
There was actually a lot of people trying to trade for James Conner in our rookie-only draft.
I see why. It makes sense. Mike Zimmer said, "We've got a long way to go before we make any determinations on that," end quote. And that was about who his starting running back will be. That will be a major storyline.
It's going to be. I'm starting to feel better about Cook. I moved Cook up a little bit in my rankings.
You dropped Murray out?
Oh, yeah. Murray's down. Down for the count.
So where'd you move Cook to, Dave?
He has moved one spot ahead of Joe Mixon for me.
Wow, you like him better than Mixon.
I like him better than Mixon. When this whole thing first started, and Adam, I told you this, I keep going back and forth. I thought that the road to start was easier for Mixon than it was for Cook, and I thought the offense was better for Mixon than it is for Cook. And I still think that the offense in Cincinnati, way better than the offense in Minnesota. But I think Dalvin Cook's competition is not good.
Neither is Joe Mixon's.
I think Mixon's is better, and I think that the Bengals could hold him back just as much as the Vikings could hold Cook back, but something tells me the Vikings won't have a choice. They're going to see Latavius Murray isn't 100%. They know what they've got in Jerick McKinnon. They improved their offensive line for a reason. Cincinnati didn't even do that. I think Dalvin Cook will be back. I think they'll be very close to each other.
They were pretty – they were about 24
picks
apart.
Top 24 for you, Jay?
No, not Derek Cook.
Okay. You'll get there. Don't worry.
No.
You will.
Not unless Murray's ankle's bad.
Well, look, they were both drafted, obviously. Mixon went in the third round. Cook went in the fifth round. About two full rounds, like, you know, right in the same spot in the draft, later than Mixon. So we'll talk about that. Other news, Buffalo didn't pick up Sammy Watkins' fifth-year option, so he's in a contract year now. Watkins will be a free agent after this season. Yeah, get paid. And wide receiver John Brown of Arizona, he had a cyst removed on his spine, from his spine. That was in January, and apparently that cyst was kind of taking away his energy. He was getting fatigued. So we're hoping for a bounce-back year for John Brown. I was actually going to do the Azer strategy fairly late in the draft with J.J. Nelson and John Brown, but Brown didn't make it back to me. But, yeah, because I could see either one of those guys being the best wide receiver on Arizona.
You
don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what Chad Williams' role is, rookie that they drafted. They have a veteran guy that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right. He's only good for like 105 catches, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the draft. Here we go. 12-team standard scoring league. One quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, kicker defense, and a flex, which can be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end. You guys like your teams?
Sure.
Yeah.
Good. You love your teams?
Except for one pick.
Oh, yeah? Which pick?
Pick number 69, Kelvin Benjamin.
Well, you know
but
what?
He's going to be like my fourth receiver, so... Whatever. Let him pig out for now.
All right. Well, that leads me to this question. Why are we not drafting Curtis Samuel? If we're so down on Kelvin Benjamin and they gave this the second round pick, you know, on they invested that on Curtis Samuel. He's the new rookie wide receiver for the Panthers. Why did he go undrafted? Should he have gone undrafted?
If it were a PPR league, he would have gotten drafted because I think that's where his value is going to be. He's a lot like Christian McCaffrey. And I think what Carolina is going to try and do is take pressure off of Cam Newton by throwing short passes and make that replace a lot of their running game. They have two players who can do it now. They can get open in space. They can make plays in space. They can work off of handoffs. They can run between the tackles. They can hit the edge. They've got them both in McCaffrey and Samuel. And in the case of McCaffrey, he can also work on special teams. I think the plan is to put these guys out there, drive defenses crazy, let Cam throw high percentage passes to these guys, and they kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. And while they do that, they can mix in some deeper shots to theoretically Kelvin Benjamin, mid-range shots to Greg Olsen, and they got Charles Johnson. I wonder if they think that he can kind of reprise the Ted Ginn role and be that deep threat for them. But it looks to me like they're really diversifying their passing game, and I think it'll lead to better efficiency for the Panthers' offense, not necessarily better stats. I don't think Samuel's going to be an 800-yard, six-touchdown kind of guy. But I do think he can get close to 50 catches. Okay. I think he'll start.
All right. Well, only three rookie wide receivers were drafted, and they were the three first-round top 10 picks, where a lot of rookie running backs were drafted. Leonard Fournette.
That's typical.
Yeah, it is. But still, only three was a little... was kind of low, because I remember
you
last...
You know why? Because name the fourth best wide receiver in this class.
I would say it's Zay Jones.
I would say it's going to end up being Zay Jones. Jamie, do you agree with Zay Jones? Or?
Going in, yeah.
I don't. I think he's also a PPR type of drafty.
Yeah, and I understand.
Catch 60 passes, but I don't think that these guys are going to get a bunch of touchdowns. If good enough is six touchdowns, I don't think Jones or Samuel can do it.
Leonard Fournette went 10th overall. Jamie, what'd you think of that?
Thought it was too soon. I'm okay with him in the second round, mid to late second round, but first round, I think it's a little too soon. It's kind of what I wrote the story about, you know, so when you see the column on the site, you'll see, and I gave Nick Costas, who drafted him, the opportunity to defend himself on why he took him.
He just said YOLO?
He said that when he made the pick, but he did not say that in the story. You know, he said, Just to summarize it, he said he could see a Todd Gurley-like performance from Fournette, which is not out of the realm of possibility. Compared the offensive line situations to both those two teams. And, you know, he's the guy's going to get a lot of work. But to have him go, well, first of all, McCoy fell in this draft way too far. So to have him go ahead of McCoy was silly. Ahead of Jordan Howard, I think, is a little too soon. Ahead of JHI, you can argue. I think that's where he starts to come into play. But he also went ahead of Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson, T.Y. Hilton, Gronk, Michael Thomas. You know,
yeah,
so.
And he may have been there at Nick's second pick, too.
Well, that's the other part of it, too, is that
that's 15th
you know, if he really wanted him and, you know, at this point, you know, and I would hope most of our listeners feel the same way, you should know who you're drafting with, you know, thus it's a first-time league. But if you've been in a league with a lot of people for a long time, which is kind of the case with what we do here, is, you know, everybody's in these drafts together, you know, year over year. And in some cases, once we get closer to August, it's week over week. But, you know, he should have known that nobody was going to take Fournette at that spot when he's picking 10.
All right, a couple more things on the rookies here. I drafted John Ross pretty late. Like
round 10.
Round 10, okay. And he was the third rookie wide receiver off the board. Fourth pick of round 10 in a 12-team league. So I think just, you know, like the more you think about it, I had a whole weekend to think about the rookies and whatnot. I think that we might be a little too low on John Ross. I mean, the guy, the reason why people were not happy with the pick was because of his injury concerns, but not his talent. He's unbelievably fast, fastest guy in the draft. And I think he's the number two wide receiver, clearly. I'm not really worried about Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati. So I think there's potential there, and there's a good track record of top 10 picked wide receivers being good in their rookie years in fantasy. And it reminds me a little bit of Keenan Allen, who fell because of injury concerns. John Ross didn't, but Allen, look, he's long-term, it's been bad, right? He's had knee problems, but he was great, and he's been great when he's on the field. So I think maybe as we get further into the draft season and preseason, if John Ross is healthy, I think his draft stock will rise.
All that needs to happen is one big play in the preseason, and people will see that. They'll see what the potential can be, and he'll vault into round 8.
But think about most – you're saying first-round receivers or top 10 receivers?
Top 10.
Think about most of the guys that go in the top 10, though.
Right.
The big physical ones.
Well, okay. Yeah, and then
well,
I guess –
Tavon Austin was the top 10.
And he's the biggest bust of the top 10 picks.
He's got a huge contract.
But he's the worst one in fantasy. Of the last 6 years, of all the top 10 picks, he's the only one that's been bad as a rookie, and he hasn't been good at all.
Size-wise, he's probably the smallest, right?
Yeah, Justin Blackman was like 30th. He was the second worst. And then you've got Julio Jones, you got AJ Green. I mean, Beckham is not a big guy. He was the 12th pick, but
Beckham's bigger than him.
Yeah, most people are.
Beckham's right. Bigger than Mike Evans?
Than John Ross.
Oh, yeah.
John Ross. All right, let's
John
do the
Ross
draft.
Is puny.
Let's get to the draft here. Standard scoring, 12 teams. We'll see how far we can get. We'll talk about the major themes. Ezekiel Elliott went number one. This is standard scoring. Le'Veon 2, David Johnson 3. Antonio Brown 4. Jamie took David Johnson. Dave took Antonio Brown. Julio Jones 5. Odell Beckham 6. So there you go. You got 3 running backs, 3 wide receivers to start your standard scoring draft. And then it gets interesting. Melvin Gordon 7. Mike Evans 8. I took AJ Green 9th. I was really hoping that Evans would go before Green, and he did. Ka-ching! Leonard Fournette, 10. LeSean McCoy, 11.
That's a steal.
And Dez Bryant, 12. And, so again, the last 6 picks of round 1 were Melvin Gordon, Mike Evans, AJ Green, Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, Dizzy Dez Bryant.
Jamie, if you had Nick's pick at 10th overall, you wouldn't have taken Fournette. You probably would have gone with LeSean because you just said he was a steal in 11. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the idea of starting your draft with LeSean and Leonard?
I wouldn't have taken Fournette over any of those receivers who were there.
Dez, T.Y., Jordy.
Right, and I wouldn't have taken him over Jordan Howard either. But if I'm really in love with Leonard Fournette, and like right now for the way I have it, I think I have McCoy 4, Gordon 5, 6 has Ajayi, 7 is...
Well, Howard's got to be...
I'm sorry, 6 is Howard.
Right. I have Gordon, McCoy, Howard at 4, 5, 6. Does that sound familiar to you?
I have McCoy.
Then Gordon, then Howard.
Then Gordon,
then
Howard, then
Freeman.
Ajayi.
No, Freeman.
I'm sorry, Freeman, then Ajayi, then this is the spot where Fournette's going to start to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it, you know, if you're comparing him to Ajayi, they can make an argument for him. Compare him to Lamar Miller with the addition of Foreman. You can make a strong argument for Fournette being better. And Gurley, certainly in his situation. So he's in the top 10 discussion. And I think, Adam, I know I talked to you this a couple of days ago, like, where I'm struggling with really is at the point right now is Gurley, Miller, and Fournette. Like, Hyde to me is totally out of the question with everything that's going on with him. So, I think you look at it as if you're so enamored with him, we've talked about this before, like Adam with the draft that we did, where you're picking at the end, you know, and you feel like you have to go get somebody, he's not going to come back to you. So Nick had two shots to get him. He wanted to make a statement by taking the first round because as anybody that listens to our podcast that's had Nick on or our video shows knows Nick is, as much about, the show as he is the substance. And usually there's a lot of substance. So, the Fournette pick was to, you know, kind of, you know, have some fun with it, but he could have had him where he took Michael Thomas. So he could have easily taken, let's just say Dez or Jordy or T.Y. Hilton and then had Fournette in round two. And that's just, you know, two guys to start with.
Yeah, but Dave wants to know, do you go McCoy Fournette with your first two picks? What about you, Dave? Would you have done that? Is that a good start for you?
It's an interesting way to attack it where you go and you get those two stud running backs right off the bat and then you focus on receivers with your next three or four picks. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do.
I can't
do it. I'm not there with Leonard as a first round pick.
I tell you what, man. Fournette, Dave, this is something that I've noticed, just my convictions right now, how I feel about drafting. There's almost no way I'm going to feel good about my team if I don't have a top seven wide receiver. And you guys can extend it to eight. If T.Y. Hilton could, yeah, I'd say Hilton should be in there. Top eight receiver, like, I need one. I cannot go running back. And because I just don't, like, even when we get to round three, and I took Doug Baldwin, who's been a top 10 wide receiver 2 years in a row.
Icky, right?
What's that?
It feels icky. Yeah.
It does, because I feel like Baldwin could certainly be top 10 again, and I feel like the way he'll go about getting there is going to be so frustrating. He's not going to consistently do it. I need at least one top 8 wide receiver.
Oh, I agree. It's like this is the first time this offseason that I've picked in the top 5. And so, obviously, you know, David Johnson, Bell, or Elliott, if you're picking the top 3. I guess it's, say, top 3. So, first time picking the top 3. So, I know I'm taking one of those three guys. And then when it gets back to you, there's no receiver worth taking at the end of the second round unless Thomas or maybe Cooper are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went into with the mindset of, okay, if Gronk is there, I'm going to take Gronk, knowing how the running backs are probably going to fall. And actually, I did think that I would take Fournette.
Yeah. Nope.
I went in with those two ideas of, okay, I'll go, you know, whoever falls to me at 3, and then Gronk or Fournette were the two guys I was thinking of. And so I was happy that it was Gronk that I took in the second round. But, you know, I was looking at it. I didn't want DeMarco Murray in round three and round two. I ended up taking round three. And when it got to Dave picked right in front of me, Dave picked after me in the first round, but right in front of me in the second round. And so I saw, you know, I was looking at his rankings. I'm thinking, okay, he's either going to take Freeman or Gronk. Those are the next two guys he had ranked. And he took Freeman. I was like, okay, good. I don't have to worry about going running back. But to your point, Adam, I couldn't pass on DeMarco Murray in round three. And then now it's coming back. I'm like, these receivers are terrible. You know, Crabtree's fine. He's my number one receiver.
You're talking about round four?
Round four.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look.
I was actually hoping it didn't work out that way, but I was hoping to go Crabtree, Landry. And Landry went after I took Crabtree in round four. But yeah, I don't love not having one of those receivers. It's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to view Gronk as that guy, you know?
All right. Let's get a little bit further on into the draft here. After round one, we've got T.Y. Hilton, Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas, third pick now of round two to Nick, who also took Fournette. Are you guys okay with that, Michael Thomas? He deserved to be up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little too soon, but, you know, that's where you start to think of him.
You're going to take Jordan Howard went after him, Jay Ajayi went after him, I think both those guys, and Devontae Freeman. All three of those guys should go ahead of Michael Thomas in a non-PPR.
Now, again, the way that Nick built his team, so he didn't take one of the receivers at the end of the first round. And then right after he picked, the last three top eight receivers went.
Right. Dez, T.Y.
Nelson.
Right.
So now he's either, okay, does he go running back, or does he leave himself in the position that you don't necessarily want to be in, which is not having one of the better, more secure wide receivers.
And that's why I went A.J. Green in round one, because I ended up with Jordan Howard with the fourth pick of round two.
So let's just say the draft went a little bit more conventional, where it would have been, let's just say, Nick taking, let's just move them up. Nick takes Dez at 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
He still takes McCoy. Maybe Marrone now goes Hilton and Howard.
Or, well, he went Dez and Hilton, so let's just say he goes Nelson and Hilton.
Okay, so now Heath is probably going to take Howard. I don't know who has Howard, but let's just say he does.
Mm-hmm.
Nick then takes
Fournette
there, and you're doing what?
So Howard and Fournette are
Freeman
off the board.
Freeman or Ajayi, right? Probably.
Yeah, I'd probably go Devontae Freeman because I sat there and I was thinking, do I go Howard or Freeman? Howard or Freeman? Freeman ended up slipping five more spots to Dave. So I would have taken Devontae Freeman there. I would have gone running back, wide receiver, because in this scenario, Michael Thomas is still on the board. He would have been tempting for me. And the next wide receiver off the board was DeAndre Hopkins, who went after I took Jordan Howard, then Jay Ajayi, middle of round two, Amari Cooper, Todd Gurley, Devontae Freeman to Dave, Rob Gronkowski to Jamie, Lamar Miller, and Demaryius Thomas. Not sure we've seen his name up there, but wide receiver's tough, you know, after those top eight come off the board. Demaryius Thomas is the last pick of round two.
And that was to Chris Towers, and he even said in the draft room, he's like, wow, picking at the end of the first round stinks. Or picking first overall stinks when you have to get to the round 2-3 turn.
So what would your advice be? Like, I've got the number one pick, Dave and Jamie, in a 12-team league. What do you think I should do?
I probably, where Chris picked, I would have taken Rodgers instead of reaching for one of these receivers just to lock up the, you know, his favorite running back was Zeke, and then you get Rodgers there, but also DeMarco Murray. You know, I think Chris kind of pigeonholed himself a little bit. Like, I'm taking these two receivers, and the two best guys on the board were, you know, Demaryius and Jeffrey.
That's who we took. We didn't say who they were. It was Demaryius Thomas and Alshon Jeffrey. I'm not sure if we said who the second one was.
I'm sorry. So he took Alshon Jeffrey with the first pick in the third round when he could have had Rodgers. He could have had Murray, who by most accounts is going to be a second round pick. And then there's just some other receivers, you know, looking at all of our rank lists. I think we all have Devontae Adams, right?
Doug Baldwin.
Right, ahead of those guys. But, you know, Chris is entitled to his opinion on which guys he thinks is best. And if he links Demaryius and Jeffrey are the two best guys, then you take them. But it almost feels like that was his, I'm doing this, and this is what I'm doing, and these are my two best guys.
The running back, receiver,
right,
game plan.
I can't see a justification for DeAndre Hopkins going fifth pick in the second round. You?
Not quite that high.
But toward
the end of the second round, I could see him going.
Yeah, he comes into play there. I think, you know, you're talking about an owner that's picking right in the middle of the second round. He probably sees the way the receivers have gone and knowing, okay, I'm not going to get him in the third round. So if you are convinced that DeAndre Hopkins bounces back, then you take him there.
Okay. Third round, Alshon Jeffrey, Travis Kelce, second pick of round three. A little earlier than we're used to seeing, right? A little bit. DeMarco Murray to Jamie. Why were you not so in love with that pick? Because I don't really like Murray that much, but round three, I'd be pretty damn happy.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm perfectly fine with it. In love with it? The problem is when something like this happens, so you can't pass up what could be a fantastic value pick when the player is still good. The problem with it is like, okay, I know how I started my team. I went running back, I went Gronk, and we're having this conversation about receivers. So I saw Jeffrey go one, I saw Kelce go two. The player that I thought I was going to end up taking after the Thomas-Jeffrey pick was either Devontae Adams or Doug Baldwin. And so now I'm looking at, okay, I got my stud running back, David Johnson. I got my Gronk pick, which is, you know, essentially a wide receiver, but I know I locked up tight end. I want to get one of my top 12 wide receivers. And then DeMarco Murray is sitting there.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pass up two of my top 10 running backs, but now I know what's going to happen at receiver. And it ended up happening.
All right. So the round three is pretty interesting. Jeffrey, Kelce, DeMarco Murray, Devontae Adams to Dave. And you now have Brown, Adams, and Devontae Freeman. Christian McCaffrey, fifth pick of round three in a standard scoring league. Then Aaron Rodgers. Then Isaiah Crowell. Then Joe Mixon to the guy who drafted DeAndre Hopkins. Then Doug Baldwin to me. Sammy Watkins. Carlos Hyde, 11th pick of round three. And Allen Robinson. Let me read the top six again. Jeffrey, Kelce, DeMarco Murray, Devontae Adams to Dave, Christian McCaffrey, and Aaron Rodgers. What do you think about Christian McCaffrey? Two picks ahead of Crowell, three picks ahead of Joe Mixon. But I don't know, like, I just don't know how to value him in a standard scoring league.
I think it's ridiculous that he went this high. I think it's ridiculous to mix him with this high, too. I think both of those guys went far too soon. The fact that you're taking McCaffrey in a non-PPR ahead of Aaron Rodgers, it's kind of filthy to me.
Yeah,
It makes me need to shower.
I think the thing that happens is once, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with John Ross and Dalvin Cook and some of the other Jamal Charles and CJ Anderson situation. Once you get past, I think it's going to be that group that we started talking about with the Fournette pick. The Fournette, Miller, Gurley, that right about there. It's kind of a jumbled number two running back group because you have nobody feels comfortable. We could tell people till we're blue in the face. The Browns offensive line is going to be good. Crowell had a decent season last year. He has a chance to be a breakout player. Nobody feels comfortable taking Isaiah Crowell in the third round, and I get it. You could tell
people. Do you?
Huh?
Do you?
No, I wouldn't take him in the third round.
I would.
You could tell people that Carlos Hyde is coming off of a good season, but everybody's reading what's happening with Carlos Hyde right now and knowing that he's coming off of a knee injury, so nobody's going to feel good about that player. Then you start to look at Marshawn Lynch, who's 31, who'd sat out a year. You start to talk about Mark Ingram, who got all this company this offseason. You start to talk about Joe Mixon. Is he worth it at that high? Is McCaffrey worth it at that high? And all these guys, Mike Gillisley, who's going to the worst situation from a coaching standpoint that we've seen basically over the last 10-plus years of you never know who's going to be the guy.
Sounds like the perfect time to take a receiver.
It's just one of those situations where if you've gone heavy receiver to start your team and you're looking at running backs, so where do you go? Do you go with maybe Crowell is going to be good? Or do you take a guy who, Adam, you've laid out a very pretty convincing argument about what happens to top 10 running backs. Running backs are drafted in the top 10 of the first round of the NFL draft and how they perform. So McCaffrey could be great.
Yeah, it is. It's weird, though. Like, my gut wants to rank Joe Mixon. Not that I do rankings, but my gut wants to rank Joe Mixon ahead of Christian McCaffrey in standard and certainly not in PPR.
I'm not that far behind you.
It's just a gut feeling. I'm just concerned about touchdowns with McCaffrey. I'm concerned about carries. And the whole thing about, you know, all these top 10 running backs finishing as top 10 running, or all these top 10 NFL draft pick running backs finishing top 10 in their rookie seasons in fantasy. There aren't that many, but also McCaffrey is completely unlike them. He is a different breed and we know it and we just don't know what his role will be. So I wouldn't be comfortable taking him with the fifth pick of round
three. His role has to be similar to what he did in college. You don't draft him in the top 10 and say, okay, we're going to turn Christian McCaffrey into the next Jonathan Stewart, or we're going to turn him into the next Mike Tolbert. We're going to run him between the tackles 30 times per game.
Yeah,
that's asinine.
Yeah,
They're going to use him exactly like Stanford used him, and it's smart.
Well, there's a couple things for that. One, I think with any of these players, John Ross included, you have to kind of justify the pick. Okay, why do we do this? We do this because we think he's a role player, because he's going to be somebody that we somewhat feature in our offense. So with McCaffrey, with Mike Williams, with Fournette, with Corey Davis, these guys are going to try and get the coaching staff and the front office are going to try and make sure that they're funneled the ball as much as they possibly can. The second part of it for McCaffrey is this team knows more about him, I think, than anybody else in the NFL, because his running backs coach is the second wide receiver coach for the Panthers. Or I think he is a wide receiver.
He's a wide receivers coach, yeah.
Right. So they even said, I read the story yesterday, we had tape on him that nobody else had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they know what they're getting.
Sure. Yeah. We just don't know how they're going to use them.
Huh?
We just don't know how they're going to use them.
No.
How they're going to use them.
We know. We don't know this, but we can assume that they know how to use them.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just a matter of how much they're going to use
them. I don't know that they know how to use. I think they have an idea, but until they actually start playing the games and seeing what happens, seeing what they have in Kelvin Benjamin, I just feel like their offense is going to be a lot different. You know, you talked about how they're going to, I'm sorry, we're not getting to more draft picks. We will. You talked about how the Panthers are going to change their offense, right? I feel like Cam Newton is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL to do that with. He's so inaccurate. I think he's a great player, amazing quarterback. I'd want him on my team. But if you're going to have this short passing game offense with yards after catch and slant patterns and stuff, like, you need an accurate quarterback. And that's why I said it on Friday after the first round of the NFL draft that McCaffrey, his fit with Carolina, I wasn't sure about it because I don't know that Cam Newton is the guy to remodel your offense around. You
absolutely.
Know?
It would have been much better to see him in Indy, to see him in Green Bay, to see him in Tampa Bay, you know, situations where there's probably a better schematic fit for what Christian McCaffrey could do. But you have to assume, whether it comes to fruition or not, that when they started planning their NFL draft, that they were sitting down drawing plays for Christian McCaffrey before he was picked.
Yeah.
It's usually how it goes.
And so I know Cam's accuracy has come into question. He's never been a guy that has done that before, though. Now, whether that's because he can or he can't, we don't know.
He's going to set a career high in completion percentage because he's going to throw shorter passes.
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Right? I think, all right, just to sum this up, McCaffrey's going to be great. My concern is touchdowns. And in a standard scoring league, you need him in the third round. So I think
what's the number of touchdowns that would make you feel comfortable?
8.
You think he can get 8, or that's how many you'd want from him in order to take him in round 3?
So you don't think he could do 5 and 3, five rushing, 3 receiving?
I certainly do. I also wouldn't be surprised if he has 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
But I don't know.
I think 5 touchdowns is what I'm expecting.
Look, it's May, right? It's May 5th. I'm sure my opinion on McCaffrey is going to change. It has to, as we get more information, as we get reports, as we see preseason games, it has to. These drafts are always fun. But they're going to look a lot different in a few months.
Of course.
Yeah. But I'm fun. This is fun. All right, this is a fun draft. All right, let's dig a little deeper here. Mixon. So you said, is Crowell a third-round pick? He was in this draft. He was a 7th pick of round 3. Then Mixon, then Baldwin to me, Watkins, Carlos Hyde, which we think is a good spot for him, right? Late round 3? Carlos Hyde?
I don't know if Jamie thinks that.
No, I think for now, yes. This is an okay spot for him, but if his knee is still a problem, if Joe Williams starts to get more work, if Tim Hightower, I mean, there's just so many things that are working against Carlos Hyde right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I hate it.
I do too.
I hate it.
Part of me doesn't really want to buy into it because you think about the competition that's there. But you know this morning I spent some time looking at Joe Williams' games. And most of what I saw, him play against BYU and then, who else did I see him play against? I don't remember. But toward the end of one of those games, he caught fire. He looked amazing.
His last 7 games were amazing.
He is exactly the type of running back that Kyle Shanahan would want. One cut runner, good burst after he can accelerate, got good long speed, not quite big enough, and not a great blocker.
Well, just
his
just,
pass protection needs a lot of work. I see why Kyle Shanahan wanted him and why the 49ers took him.
Just keep one thing in mind with him. He, based on the NFL draft, he played behind arguably the best offensive line in football.
It's true.
In college.
He gets what's blocked. I don't know if he's a creator.
But all of that said about Joe Williams, doesn't matter. He's going to get work.
I agree.
He's going to get work. It's taking something away from Carlos Hyde.
Work.
No, believe me.
Somebody's going to get
after
work.
What
Jamie, I don't know if it's going to be Williams.
After what Kyle
will.
Shanahan did, he now has to justify that to his boss. And justifying that to his boss, who said, Joe Williams is off our draft board. And Kyle Shanahan said, no, I need him. His quote was, I'm going to lose sleep if I don't have him on our team.
Right.
Mm.
He's got to make a fit.
Wow. I don't know if it's that serious.
It doesn't mean making him fit as a 20-touch guy. It means making him fit 5 touches here. Maybe he works up to 10 touches a game. Who knows? But
someone's going to do it. Someone's going to take touches away from
Carlos Hyde. Justifying this in some way, shape, or form. And they're justifying the Tim Hightower signing because he's been good the last 2 years, rejuvenating his career.
There's only one way it doesn't happen.
And Carlos Hyde has had a hard time staying healthy, coming off of an injury on a staff and a team that does not appear to want him.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Joe Williams
got to play on fire in training camp.
Joe Williams went in the 12th round. And if you're Heath and you took Carlos Hyde in the 3rd round, you had ample opportunity to draft Joe Williams, and he should have, and he didn't. Dave did in the 12th round. So that was late in the 12th round. That was after Heath picked in the 12th round. So you gotta get them both.
We had 2 scenarios of that. I'll wait till we get to it. Never mind.
Okay.
It was Arizona State, and it's on YouTube. So if you want a little peek at Joe Williams, go to YouTube and search for Joe Williams versus Arizona State. I believe it was his 2 last runs of the game. One, he just, he's not tired. The defense is, and he's plowing through tackles. And then the next play, it's a 3rd and 4. The defense blitzes. Williams gets a hole, and he's off to the races.
I'm glad you mentioned this stuff here because I was watching some highlights of Juju Smith-Schuster on YouTube, and then I was like, you know what would be fun? Let's watch some Nelson Agholor highlights because you could get pretty excited about anybody based on highlights.
And Nelson Agholor had some of the – I loved him coming out.
Well, no USC wide receiver seems to live up to the hype. But anyway, can I ask a favor of anybody?
I had an argument with Brady Quinn on our draft show about that.
I don't know what it is. Like, it doesn't make sense. And now they're in different regimes, like different coaches. It shouldn't make sense, but it's just been a bad thing. USC wide receivers are busts. Now, if you make a highlight video, you out there, of a college player or a high school player, can you just either don't put any music on it or just put an instrumental or something? The music is just terrible on
these
highlight
videos. Why are
you
watching highlights?
What am I going to do? Sit down and watch a game?
There are dedicated people. I'm going to give the site. It's called draftbreakdown.com. These guys, they take a whole game, and it's not the All-22 film. It's the TV broadcast. But they cut it up, and it's not highlights. You get every touch for that player.
All right, I'm in.
You get every drop back for the quarterback. You get pass protection for the running backs. You get a real good idea of what these players can do. It's not the best. It's not ideal. But we don't have access to a lot of All-22 of college. We have it for all the pros, and we have it for the Mountain West Conference randomly. But all we don't, we do not have it. If anybody out there has any connections, help me out with this. We could get it for all the big schools, and it would help us out immensely.
Allen Robinson was the last pick of round three. I thought that was a pretty good pick. Agree? Disagree?
Yes.
I've got a theory working on the Jaguars.
Go ahead. We've barely talked about the draft so far. Might as well keep going.
I think everything, and this is one of the reasons why I think Fournette in round one, it's kind of a faux pas, but it's really not the worst thing in the world. I think everything is starting to set up for him to get more work. And I mean, it's obviously he's going to get more work than any running back in Jacksonville the last 5 years, but I think everything is setting up to make him the focal point, maybe not necessarily of just the offense, but the team.
Because of course he's a focal point of the offense.
Of course he is of the offense, but I'm saying the team. Because
he's
that
franchise
is going to be good. It's improved. And I think that they're going to slow down some of these opponents that were stopping them and forcing them to play from behind. And I think it's going to bring down all the numbers of everybody in Jacksonville except Fournette, because I think he's going to get so much
well,
work.
Well, sure. They're trying to mirror the Cowboys. That doesn't mean Dez Bryant's not getting his numbers. Robinson, if he can bounce back and play at the level that we saw a couple years ago.
Is he a 1,300-yard receiver?
No, but he could easily be 1,206, 1,208. I mean, in the end of the third round, based on where he was and the offense that he's going to play in.
I hear you.
And certainly in a contract year, there's a lot to like about Allen Robinson at the end of the third round.
I had a lot of trouble going between Baldwin and Robinson. I took Baldwin. I thought Baldwin was a little safer, had less downside, but that was a tough one. All right, let's go to round four, finally. Eddie Lacy, first pick of round four.
I thought that was early.
Yeah.
Jamie's going to disagree. Jamie's a big Lacy fan this year. I'm not taking him that soon.
It's just looking at the backs on the board. I think I agree. It's a little too soon, but it's in the range and he's picking on the end. So if you have conviction about a player, take him.
I guess Gillislee went like six picks later. I would have taken him.
I like Gillislee better too, but you know, you can make arguments for and against all of these guys at this point. Like Adam taking Abdullah, you know, that most people are going to look at that. Even when I tweeted out the results, they're like, really? Abdullah in round four at this point? But it's a great situation.
I hate it. I didn't hate it. I didn't feel good about it. It, like you said about Baldwin, just kind of icky. But okay, I will get to that. So it was Eddie Lacy, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, and Amir Abdullah are the first four picks of round four. To me, it was Abdullah or Matt Ryan, and I'm going to give it a shot. I've always liked them, so I'd like to play this team out, by the way. Corey Davis, first rookie wide receiver off the board. Fifth pick of round four,
I think that's too high, too.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Especially with Pryor, Crabtree, Landry, those guys still on the board, Golden Tate. Look, Scott Riley, you'll see it when you see the draft results. He's one of our video producers. He's the one that took Hopkins in round two. He took Mixon in round three. He took Davis in round four. You know, and he even said, he's like, it's recency bias. You know, he's like, all these names were made. We just did a rookie-only draft, so, you know, we've been talking about all these names for basically the last 4 or 5 days. So he said, he's like, I just was favoring the younger guys over the older guys.
Would you say he was mixing it up? Would you say that? That he was?
No.
Okay. So,
no. This has nothing to do with mixing.
Well, he took mixing. He has mixing. All right, fine. So Eddie Lacy, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Amir Abdullah, Corey Davis, and Tom Brady. That's your first six of round four. And then we get to Mike Gillislee. It is still a little unusual to see Mike Gillislee going in the middle of the fourth round. Jordan Reed, Terrell Pryor to Dave, Michael Crabtree to Jamie. I assume, Jamie, you wanted Terrell Pryor?
Yeah, I would prefer Pryor.
And then Jarvis
Landry. I almost took Pryor in round three.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry, and then Spencer Ware, last pick of round four.
You know, he's going to, for right now, the two guys I think they're going to be very polarizing wherever they get drafted, but Spencer Ware and Ty Montgomery, because both guys were, and still are going to be listed as starters on their team. But both guys have a lot of competition that's probably going to, and Rob Kelly too. I think you got to throw him in there as well. They're all going to get competition that could really ruin their standing with the team. Now, I don't think Spencer Ware is going to be taken off the field completely, but this is just a little bit too soon. Now, and I will say this. So we did the video for the draft and we talked about the rookies. You'll see Kareem Hunt coming up. I believe it's round six.
Yes.
And like Heath said, Heath, I think, is the only one of the three of us that has Ware still ranked as a starter in this range. So Chris Towers may have been following Heath Cummings' rankings.
Oh, he was, for sure.
Huh?
They're Creeth.
That's true. But it's very interesting. I think, if I remember it correctly, Heath still has him somewhere in the top 20 in terms of Ware. I still have Ware as a number three back, and I think Dave is just completely done with Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
Well, Ware, so let's look at these tandems here. Ware went 48th overall. Kareem Hunt went 65th overall. Which value is better?
Hunt.
Dave, Hunt. Obviously Hunt for you. Do you guys straight up have Hunt ahead of Ware right now?
Yeah, I actually have it, and I did this purposely. I have Hunt 27, Jamal Williams 28, Ty Montgomery 29, Ware 30.
Okay.
So kind of like a sandwich.
I have a Packer sandwich.
A Packer Chief sandwich. I bet that would be a really good sandwich because you're taking some Kansas City and some Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Probably going to have some good cheese on that thing.
Right. You get the little barbecue with cheese. You
know, I don't know if the brat will be on there because that's more of a Wisconsin thing, whereas the barbecue is a Kansas City cuisine.
But here's the thing. Like, why doesn't barbecue have cheese? You think about that?
Well, my barbecue has had cheese.
That's really...
Some people will say it ruins it. I think it depends on what type of cheese you use.
Oh, cheese ruins nothing. Give me a break. Okay.
Cereal.
So we like Hunt better, 65th overall cereal, compared to Ware, 48th. Green Bay running backs. Montgomery went 67th overall, and Jamal Williams went with the last pick of round 7, 84th overall. 67th, 84th. So obviously you guys like the Williams value better, but is that good value for both of them? 67th for Montgomery, 84th for Jamal Williams?
Yeah. I mean, that's the range that they're in.
All right. All righty.
I don't think either one of those guys will be a three-down back for Green Bay this year, unless there's injuries.
No, but I think Jamal
Williams. And even if there are injuries.
I think Jamal Williams is going to have a good year.
He can outscore Ty, so it comes down to can he get significantly more. How will the yardage shake out? Because he can get fewer yards than Montgomery and still outscore him and be better in fantasy. I'm starting to think he can get there.
Okay.
I like Jamal Williams too. He's not a three down player. He's not very dynamic. He's just a bull in a china shop type of guy.
Now let's go to round five. Greg Olsen, Golden Tate, Andrew Luck.
He's Eddie Lacy without all the cellulite.
Oh, my God. All right, Greg Olsen, Golden Tate, Andrew Luck, Mark Ingram to Dave with the fourth pick of round five.
And that's another player that I would take in round four. Everybody's nervous about him because Adrian Peterson's there, because Alvin Kamara's there. Maybe they'll take some work away from him.
Well, I mean, they are taking work away from him. So
how much? How much could they take away?
They're taking at least what Tim Hightower did, and they're going to take at least what the third down backs have been.
Keep in mind that some of Hightower's work, and this obviously sucks for Mark Ingram, but it was last year. He started games, and Ingram barely played in those games. Ingram had to make a mistake.
Keep in mind, prior to last year, Ingram's had a hard time staying healthy, too. So there's no way that Peterson is getting, if he's healthy, he's not getting less than what Tim Hightower got. He's getting at least what Tim Hightower got. Because that's why they brought him in, to take
what
work.
What was that, like
155 carries.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to give Peterson
that's
work.
10 carries a game for Peterson. You think he's going to withstand that?
No, that's what I'm saying, if he's healthy.
Hightower had 133 carries, I've got.
Was 155 touches?
That sounds right.
Now, I'll also say this about Ingram. Ingram was the number 10 running back in fantasy last year with only 205 carries. He was 5 yards per carry.
But he also had 46 catches, and Kamara's presence after they traded up to get him is going to hurt that.
Does Kamara do more than guys like Cadet and See, does he top 40 receptions?
He's a better complete player than those guys.
That's fair. Do you see him getting 50 to 60 catches in his first
year? I'd say 40.
All right. Well, I mean, last year, how many did Travaris Cadet get last year? I think he got 40, and Ingram also had 40.
I agree. Ingram is a very
– like, he's a guy that I don't mind. We're talking about running backs where there's that but gunk group in the top.
The only thing I'm questioning, not to pick, it's what you said. Maybe those other guys are going to take work. No, it's not maybe. Definitely those guys are taking work.
Fair. But I don't – are they going to take enough work where Mark Ingram is minimalized to 12 carries a game and one catch a game?
No, I'm still very much bullish on Mark Ingram. I think this is a steal for you.
I agree. I love it.
But
great pick.
Just to qualify.
I want to take him for cheesy barbecue.
It's not that he's going to, that he might lose work. He is going to lose work. The third down back last year was 40 catches for him. Travaris Cadet had 40 catches.
And Ingram still had 46, you said?
Ingram had 46. He has 96 over the last 2 years. He had 46. Cadet had 40. Hightower had 22.
He is a good running back to settle for when the running backs start to look ugly.
Now, on the positive side of things, for Ingram, for Kamara, for Peterson to a certain extent, they lost Brandon Cooks and did not replace him.
Ted Ginn!
Kobe Fleeter!
I thought you were going to say the offensive line got help. And that's on the positive side, because that offensive line could be very good this year.
Okay, so...
like, not only did they get... War Daddy from Detroit, they also got Ramchek in the first round. That line could be very good.
Okay, so to move on, I think if there's one concerning stat from last year for Ingram, the 46 catches, but also 4 receiving touchdowns, that's probably not going to happen again, and third most among running backs. Behind
he's 6-7 touchdowns.
Total touchdowns, yeah, not receiving. Okay, well, good pick in round 5 regardless, and finishing up round 5 after, so again, it was... it was Greg Olsen, Golden Tate, Andrew Luck, Mark Ingram, Julian Edelman, which led to some draft room trash talk, Jimmy Graham, Dalvin Cook, middle of round 5. Then, how about this run here on running backs?
Wait, stop there for 1 second. So I just want to back up for what we were talking about before when you said that he should have taken Joe Williams after taking Hyde.
Yeah.
So George Maselli, one of our editors, took Dalvin Cook. He had the perfect opportunity to take Latavius Murray. You want to talk about locking up that backfield in round 8. I don't know if that's too soon for anybody, but Latavius Murray in 8 and Cook in 5, he took John Brown instead.
Mm, yeah, probably would have made sense.
And Murray went the beginning of round 9.
You were, I'm guessing, going to take Derrick Henry in round 7? And he went one pick earlier?
Yes. Yeah,
you got sniped.
Yes.
Okay, so how about this run on running backs? I think we can... maybe we can talk about this, expand on it, and finish the show. In round 5, second half of round 5, Dalvin Cook, Marshawn Lynch, Paul Perkins, Tevin Coleman, then Breeze, then Rob Kelly. Dalvin Cook, Marshawn Lynch, Paul Perkins, Tevin Coleman, Breeze, Rob Kelly, and then C.J. Anderson.
The first pick around, right, C.J. Anderson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these are all great value picks, every single one, from Ingram on down.
Who's your favorite?
Ingram.
Oh, no, forget Ingram. Who's of Cook, Lynch, Perkins, Coleman, Kelly, Anderson, who's your favorite?
As a player?
In fantasy.
I would say Anderson just based on the value. He's the last one.
Who's ranked the highest?
Who would I pick after Jimmy Graham went? I would have taken Tevin Coleman.
There you go. Okay.
Yep. Can't deny it.
Interesting. That's probably the last one I would have taken.
Last one I would have taken was Lynch, and it's not close.
Maybe Lynch.
Kelly. I'm sorry. I would have taken Kelly last, then Lynch.
Coleman, I think, has the least potential to lead this group in carries.
That's true. I don't feel good about Coleman either. If I felt better about Cook and Lynch, then I would have said one of those guys. Coleman was kind of touchdowny last year. He's got to keep that up if he's going to be good again this year.
Sure.
But again, what round is this? 5?
5.
Running backs get thin quick.
I'm going to end the show by talking about where all the rookies went. So, running backs. Leonard Fournette, 10th overall. Christian McCaffrey, 5th pick of round 3, which we thought was too early. Joe Mixon, 8th pick of round 3, which also, you know, which felt a little early. Dalvin Cook, 7th pick of round 5 in that whole group that we just talked about. Kareem Hunt went with the 65th overall pick, the 5th pick of round 6. Reaction, good for, you know, middle of round 6 for Kareem Hunt for Kansas City. Yay?
A little too soon, but I'm okay with it.
Jamal Williams for Green Bay, last pick of round 7, 84th overall. Jamal Williams of Green Bay. Good, bad?
Love that.
All right, here's a guy that went a little earlier than I thought. I thought this would be more like a round 13 guy, but not in Jamie Eisenberg's world. Samaje Perine, 10th pick of round 8. That was you, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good pick.
It was a little too soon, but I wanted to take him.
You took him one pick after Dave took Jeremy Hill. Samaje Perine, the Redskins rookie running back, 10th pick of round 8.
I would have taken him one round ahead of Jeremy Hill.
And then you took Marlon Mack, actually. Jamie's all over this segment here. Marlon Mack, 6 picks later with the 3rd pick of round 5. Or, excuse me, round 9. I think it's 5 picks later? 5 picks later. 3rd pick of round. Marlon Mack of Indianapolis. So
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, same thing. It's just a guy I wanted to take. I think both those guys have sleeper potential. Both are in situations where they could play a lot. Both are in situations where you could see them being fantastic. So,
okay. Wayne Gallman of the Giants went in round 11. Is he on your standard 12-team league draft board, Wayne Gallman?
He's way low.
But another guy in a situation that, just based on opportunity, could be very good.
Maybe.
If Paul Perkins stinks.
It's got to be that opportunity. I don't know how good he is.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Wayne Gallman is.
Well, I thought Joe Williams was a better pick, and there was actually another running back, Deontay Foreman, who went for Houston. Houston rookie Deontay Foreman went in round 12, followed by Joe Williams, followed by James Conner in round 14, which just makes so much sense with what we've seen from Le'Veon Bell to grab James Conner. But Gallman, Foreman, and Joe Williams preceded James Conner. All right. Rookie wide receivers, we've only gotten to Corey Davis in the first 5 rounds. He was the 5th pick of round 4. He was after Keenan Allen and Brandon Cooks. Corey Davis was before Terrell Pryor and Michael Crabtree, so we thought a little early. And Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams was the 8th pick of round 6. 68th overall for Mike Williams. One pick before Kelvin Benjamin and then Brandon Marshall. And actually, this was an interesting running back or wide receiver run. You had Mike Williams, 68th overall, Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, DeSean Jackson. Williams, Benjamin, Marshall, Decker, DeSean Jackson. What'd you think?
I don't know if I'm in love with many of those guys.
Yeah, well, you took Kelvin. Would you have taken Mike Williams if he had still been
on
the
board? And I wasn't in love with it.
I mean, these are good players here who have been good in fantasy. And one was the 7th overall pick in the draft and a good offense here.
Everybody made a lot of fat jokes about Kelvin, and I'm sensitive to that. And I didn't like it. Stop it. Leave Kelvin and his cheeseburgers alone.
The cheese, as long as there's cheese on it. I think this is an interesting group here. Some of these guys are going to be really good.
I debated Kelvin Benjamin versus Brandon Marshall for my pick.
I'm glad you made the decision that you did.
I'm sure you did.
Oh, Jamie took Marshall with the next pick.
Right. And I hated this pick because there was nothing that I liked at running back. I thought it was too soon for Doug Martin. Turned out that Martin went like 5 picks later. That was a dead spot for me in the draft, 69th overall.
Okay. And your next pick was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, so. I felt part of me wanted to take Hill at 69.
Well,
because it was so, because I just didn't like what was left. So when he was still there at 76, I said, forget this. I'll just take him.
Okay. And then the wide
felt
receivers.
Better in round 7.
There were only 3. Corey Davis, Mike Williams in round 6. Davis in 4. Williams in 6. John Ross, 4th pick of round 10. I already talked about that one. That's all I got, guys.
That's it. We're done.
You know what? For all the people who have stayed and listened, I'm sure you've been sitting there wondering, hey, Adam, Dave, and Jamie, what were your teams? How did your teams end up? So we'll tell you. And by the way, you can read about this on the website. Matt Ryan for me with Jordan Howard, Amir Abdullah. Oh, we got to talk about this next week. Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon. We'll talk about those running backs.
Nice work.
Thank you. Wendell Smallwood and Jeremy Langford to back up Jordan Howard. AJ Green, Doug Baldwin. As my starting wide receivers, I have John Ross and J.J. Nelson. And
all right.
That's it. I have Paul Perkins as well. Forgot about him. I have a lot of running backs.
Yeah, your depth at running back is admirable.
Hunter Henry at tight end, Chiefs DST, Justin Tucker. I love it. I got an elite quarterback in Matt Ryan. I got the best DST. I got maybe the best kicker. I got a bunch of running backs. I like it. Dave, your team, go.
I got Derek Carr, quarterback, and I got him late in the draft, so I was especially happy with that. Going to love waiting on quarterback this year. Running backs, Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, the backups behind them, Adrian Peterson, Deion Lewis, Jeremy Hill, and Joe Williams.
The Adrian Peterson pick was funny because somebody suggested to Dave when he was picking Kelvin Benjamin, why don't you take Adrian Peterson? And Dave shouts out,
I'm never taking Adrian Peterson. Little did I know 31 picks later, oh, Adrian Peterson's still on the board. I guess I'll take him. Well, it made sense at that point.
That could have been the quote of the day.
I took him at 100th overall. Okay. Wide receivers, I like these guys. Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, Terrell Pryor, he can be my flex. Those are three of my top 15 wide receivers, might be even higher than that. And I've got fat Kelvin Benjamin and not-so-fat Tyreek Hill on the bench. My tight end is Ladarius Green. He was my last pick, literally the last pick. I just waited too long on tight end. Steelers, who do they play in week one? It's a favorable matchup. It's Cleveland.
Ooh.
That's why I have Ladarius Green. Hopefully he's healthy for that game. Vikings are my defense. Matt Bryan is my number one kicker, and I drafted him.
If this was fantasy baseball, by week five, you'd be starting Kelvin Benjamin at tight end.
What do you mean?
Not at right guard.
Five games.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Jamie, your team, third overall pick. Dave had the fourth. You had the third.
Yes. Andrew Luck is my quarterback. David Johnson and DeMarco Murray are my running backs. Michael Crabtree and Brandon Marshall are my receivers. Gronk is my tight end. Willie Snead is my flex. The Eagles defense and Will Lutz. And my bench is Marlon Mack, Samaje Perine, Theo Riddick, the goal line back, Jonathan Williams, Ted Ginn, and Tyrell Williams.
All right, that was too fast. I'm going to give it back to everybody. Andrew Luck, David Johnson, and DeMarco Murray. Ooh, crappy wide receivers. Brandon Marshall and Michael Crabtree and Brandon Marshall. Rob Gronkowski. Look, when you got Gronkowski and Luck, it means you're probably going to be weak somewhere. So I'm sure you're not in love with your wide receivers, Crabtree.
The fact
Marshall.
That he's as strong as he is at running back, like I would take this lineup in. This is like a FanDuel lineup. This is awesome.
My starting lineup is good outside of, and the funny thing is I took Marshall ahead of Snead. I feel more comfortable about Snead's upside than I do about Marshall's upside.
Not me.
Because I think
Snead, you've got it right.
I think Snead in that offense could be really good this year, especially in a contract year for him. But Marshall, if he scores touchdowns, which is what you got to hope for with Brandon Marshall this year, could end up being good. But yeah, I think quarterback, running back, tight end, and one wide receiver I feel very comfortable with, if not very happy about.
Yeah, you got Tyrell Williams. You're good.
Yes, the fourth best receiver for his team.
All right, guys, I want to thank you all for listening today. This was a lot of fun. We don't want to necessarily podcast on Fridays. I'd like to get these out on Thursdays, and that will be the goal going forward. Kind of a tentative Tuesday-Thursday schedule, but Dave and Jamie had a very, very busy week working on a magazine that we'll tell you about in more detail. We'll tell you about
it next
week.
It's going to be awesome, by the way.
Good, good. I look forward to hearing about it. Thank you all for listening. Have a great, great weekend. I've got some Star Wars on DVR to watch this weekend. Report
Are
back
you?
To Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Empire Strikes Back.
What are you
back.
Watching? Which one?
Empire and Jedi.
Good for you.
Empire's the best.
Game on. Game on, Star Wars. For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. See ya.
May the Force be with you.
Bye.